You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back, and we're with one of the most inspiring people in South Florida, Dr. David Lawrence. We get the doctor part from all the fancy degrees he gets bestowed on him at all the different universities he gets to make speeches at. But really what he is one of the big childhood education advocates here in town. He's taken it as his life's work at this point, and he's done a heck of a job. So welcome back, Dr. Lawrence. Dave, I like to call you Dave. Is it okay?
Mr. Dave, if you need to.
Dr. Dave, Mr. Dave?
Not Dr. Dave. Mr. Dave would be all right, or just Dave is even better.
All right, Dave. So listen, we were talking about inspiration, we were talking about kids, and we were talking about your book. Give me one of the really good inspirational stories in your book.
Well, I give you something that's quite personal.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Some years ago, many years ago now, my father, with whom I was very close, was dying at Tallahassee Memorial. He had liver cancer. And I was then the executive editor of the Detroit Free Press, so I fly down to see my mother and father, and they're in the hospital room. My father's on the hospital bed. My mother is seated next to him. Ultimately, I have to go back to Detroit. I have a job, things I have to do. I lean down to kiss my father on his forehead and make sure he knows how much I love him. And he says to me at that point, "I want you to know how proud your mother and I are of you." What did I want him to say? "I love you." And I know I was raised in a loving family. I have eight brothers and sisters. We knelt down and said prayers. We went to church and so forth. I know I was loved, but I think it's really important for people to tell each other that they love them while there is time. Life can go so suddenly, so quickly. Don't miss the opportunity to have told somebody, "I love you." Not just Valentine's Day, every day.
Yeah, I think we were talking about this as we were having our conversation, setting up whether you were coming on the show, and we talked about Valentine's Day. Valentine's sort of a perfunctory day to me. You know, you go out, you got to buy a card, you got to go buy flowers, you got to go to a fancy dinner, you got to get your hair done. It's all for somebody else. You see, at our house, we do it a little different. What we do is we've got a bunch of cards. We take the cards out, and we talk about how much each card means to us and when we gave it to us. We remember back how much we love each other.
Oh, well, that's lovely. To me, Valentine's Day, I don't want to dampen anybody's evening. I'm happy for other people who look at the world. But to me, Valentine's Day is kind of commercial. The real deal is telling people every day you love them.
I agree. Every day is Valentine's Day at our house is the point I was trying to make. I love you so much. And we'll talk more about that in the second half hour. Dave, so, you know, you were here. A lot of strife happened while you were the publisher of the Miami Herald here in town. How'd you help the folks keep a lid on it and keep people moving forward together?
Well, remember, that was a very different time in newspapering and in the media. The Herald was a very powerful instrument.
Alva Chapman, those guys ran this town, basically.
No, and Alva was an extraordinary leader, maybe the great leader of the last 75 years in this community. And the newspaper was a very powerful instrument, versions in English and in Spanish. In my time, there was a boycott declared of the Herald. There were death threats significant enough that the FBI came to me. I started, as did my wife, my car by remote control for 2.5 years.
Wow.
It was very, very serious.
What were the threats over?
Coverage of a certain segment of the community.
Fair enough.
I don't have any bitterness about all of that. It affected one of my five children dramatically, who was scared to death that Daddy and Mommy were going to be killed. We weren't particularly scared. If somebody wants to sort of get rid of you, they're going to get rid of you. But so we didn't worry about it. We didn't realize the impact on one of our children until many, many years later.
It's horrible.
But this community has matured a great deal. We are becoming a genuine international and global place where people want to come, et cetera. We're going to need to figure out how to keep the water out of our streets, but it's a very special place.
Well, I think that when we do figure out how to keep the water out of our streets, because we'll be the first ones impacted, hopefully the entrepreneurial spirit of Florida and Miami will pick up and we'll export that technology to other places and actually be a leader in global technology for climate intervention.
It's happening all over the world, and we could show other people how do you get this fixed.
I really would like that. It would be something wonderful if... Let me rephrase it. I'm going to love it when we do that. And our community has pulled together to show that example. You know, I've heard the resiliency folks. I go to a lot of the different meetings. But the real important thing to me is that one of the things in our community that we have to come to grips with is that some of the highest land is in some of the areas that are occupied by some of our least advantaged people. And people are going to come in and take advantage of that. And we need to protect our historic communities the way that we protect our heritage in town.
Well, this goes back to you, to the discussion about inspiration. What I think people are so hungry for in their elected and unelected leaders is inspiration. We don't get much of it. We get sometimes technical competence. We other times get alongside that integrity. But inspiration... I don't think we see an awful lot of it. I'm eager for it.
Well, I think it's very difficult for an inspirational person to come forward, especially in today's world, because things that are inspirational are also sometimes a little bit provocative, and they can be spun a different way. Also, people that are highly inspirational are probably effective in other areas of the community where they can make money with a lot less aggravation. Yeah. I'm not running for anything here except the door, for the record.
But I was a paid skeptic for 35 years. I never was and never will be a cynic. Social media has a lot to do with it today, which can be perilous and awful and hateful and so forth and so on. We have someone in Washington who thinks that if we get further divided, it's to his advantage.
I really would prefer to have a unification. I think America was great and will be great, but I don't
Well,
like
I'm old enough to
now.
Remember, he wasn't there long enough to become a great president, but I'm old enough to remember John Fitzgerald Kennedy speaking, and there was a wonderful call to arms in the best sense. The best presidents we've ever had have known how to use the bully pulpit. So whether that's George W. Bush after 9/11 or it's Barack Obama after Charleston and so forth and so on, the beauty of this country is it's classically had a moral core. We lose that. We don't have anything really exceptional except a lot of money and a lot of weapons.
Well, I think that there is a guardianship and stewardship of that moral core. I think that there, I'm not going to be like a person to say there's a silent majority out there. I think the majority has a voice. I think they're trying to exercise that voice and try to bring a more positive energy into our society. I went and heard Nikki Haley speak at the other day, and she was tremendous. That's a contender.
Well, I don't know that Donald Trump had a better cabinet member than Nikki Haley. I think an absolutely first-rate American.
Unbelievable. You see, that's what it is. That's what it is. It's a first-rate American. Yeah. I didn't call her a red or a blue. It's a first-rate American. And I think we do need to all pull together. We're in here in South Florida where we have been very polarized for many, many years.
But we're making progress.
Oh, we are.
I'm optimistic. I've been in this community now for 30 years. I can see real progress. And we're not at the promised land, but I don't know anybody else who's at the promised land either.
No, we're not. But there are now opportunities as our community continues to grow for people that have been disenfranchised and left behind in the past to participate. Yeah. And it's up to our political leaders to make sure that those folks are included in our society and we bring them forward so that we can continue to grow and make the world a better place for us all. My gosh, am I really saying all this stuff? This is pretty good. Good thing I write a blog after this.
I am with you fully.
Thank you so very much. We've only got a couple of minutes. Can you relate what your favorite story in the book is? I know they're all good ones.
They're all.
How about this? What's the last story you tell in the? Oh, I can't ask. What's the first story you tell in the book
to
get my attention? Well,
apropos of your comment, I mentor a 14-year-old, have for 3+ years.
What a lucky person!
Well, but it hadn't been easy, and his father happens to be in prison. His mother works very, very hard. He has 6 brothers and sisters. So it's an extra struggle. I think he's going to be a sensational human being. I think you and I and all of us need to work on some larger levels, more cosmic maybe, more global, more broader.
I'm working
and
on
deeper.
It.
But I also think we could make an extraordinary difference in one human being's
That's
life.
That's a universe. It's a universe.
Yeah.
What can I do to help?
So
maybe we can have, what I'd like to do is I'd like to bring you and your mentee back on the show in the next few weeks, and I want to profile the relationship and why mentoring a young person is so important,
yeah.
Not to you, not to him, but to our community. Would you make me that promise that you work with me and wanted to do that?
You have my commitment.
Oh, that's awesome. My gosh, I don't know what else to say here anymore except thank you, Dave.
Well, you can say the book,
A
Dedicated Life, Journalism, Justice, and a Chance for Every Child. You could get it on Amazon. Even better, you could get it at any books in our community.
Thank you. You said it a lot better than I could. Could you say it again one more time? What was the title of the book, Dave?
Journalism, Justice, and a Chance for Every Child.
God bless you,
says
Dave.
It. Books and books.
Books and books. Get it there, and then come on the show. We're going to get Dave if you want. You can come when Dave comes in a few weeks. You meet him here, and we can get an autograph. But I do want to have you bring your young mentee because there's something very special to me about being a mentor.
Yeah, I'd love to do it.
It's going to be great. We're going to do that. We're going to coordinate. Now, we've got to have Wanda run a long commercial so you and I can take a good photo.
Okay.
All right. Let's go.
Thank you.
All right. My pleasure.